T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
That Embiid thing we keep referencing, let's play it, because it was after game two that he made a heck of a declaration. Now, his head is drooping down. He's not looking up at the cameras or reporters when he makes it.
Yeah, it's a heck of a declaration if you listen to it only, not well, if that's you're right. Watching.
But he said it. I mean, he did say it. Here's what Joel said minutes after the Sixers had lost game two.
How do you try to bounce back as you guys head home and try to turn this thing around?
So, you know, we're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team.
We're going to win this series. We're going to win it. Mm-hmm. And adds in a, we're the better team. It's like, all right, my man, well, better back it up. Because you look really foolish when you go there and then lose. You really do. I mean, look, we know the all-time, you know, predictions, whether it's Messier in 94. I hate to do it because it's a bunch in New York. Messier in 94, obviously Namath, you know, back with Super Bowl III. But there's also a guy like Patrick Ewing that used to say every year the Knicks were going to win, and then they wouldn't every year. And that kind of hangs around a guy like Patrick Ewing. Like, I'm a Patrick Ewing fan. But one of the parts of his legacy in the pros isn't not only that they never won at all with him, it's that he always would say they'd win, and then they'd lose.
Well, did you wear knee pads when you were playing basketball in sixth grade?
No, but I wore the gray under my jersey.
Did you?
100%.
Oh, because you didn't want to take your shirt off, though.
Well, I was a skinny little guy, I'll admit that. But Ewing would wear
you thought it looked cool.
Under the Georgetown jersey, he would have the gray.
I know.
And so I would do
very
the gray.
It did look cool.
Yeah, they did.
You know what? It looked cool for him.
Well, I get it, John. For me, yes. For me, it was the let's cover up the arms of the super skinny kid.
Yeah.
I'm well aware. Yeah. I get it.
All right. Knee pads would have been cool too. Tiny Joe, with
horrible
knee pads.
No, no, I actually had good knees. I mean, you got to remember here, we're talking about the issue
good
was
knees.
Yeah, good knees.
Well, why wouldn't
might
you
be
have
knee
good
pads
knees? You're in sixth
That's
grade.
Right.
Why would your knees be bad?
They wouldn't be. So why would I wear knee pads?
Well, because Patrick Ewing did, it looked cool.
I didn't take it that far.
Yeah.
There's only so far I took it. All right, let's listen to Charles Barkley, because he also commented on Joel. Now, I don't know that he had heard what Joel said with the audio we just played, but Monday night, and he had seen and heard at least a portion of Joel's postgame stuff, but Charles was also on to then the Lakers game. And having seen a portion of Joel at the locker, Charles said this about Joel's body language at the locker after the game.
What I'd like to see from Joel, he got to get his head up, because he's the leader of the team. He's the best player. He's one of the best players in the world. If your best player got his head down like that, he can say it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. We just got to come out and win game three. We got to take it one game at a time. As the leader of the team, he cannot have his head down. He's got to say, guys, we're fine. They did what they're supposed to do. We got to go home and win game three and four.
ESPN's latest mock draft, we're going to get to that in a moment, but you can react, obviously, to the whole Joel thing, the Sixers thing, what Joel said, what Barkley said about Joel, all of it on the table, 215-592-9494, including in a couple minutes here, the latest ESPN NFL mock draft. Ken in Cinemitson right now. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing well, Ken.
I love listening to Ross Tucker, because he says the things that I like to hear. So when he's talking about Troy Fitano, he's singing right up my hymn book there. So, okay. Listen, I have no problem with Joel Embiid saying we're going to win the series. if the flip side is, what's he supposed to say? Well, we're going to lose the series, right? So there's
well, hold on, Ken. Here's the flip side. The flip side is go do something before you say it.
Well, right.
Like let me put it this way. At least Namath was in the Super Bowl before he made that declaration.
It's a valid point.
And at least Mark Messier, before Game 6 of the Rangers-Devils series in 94, at least Messier, in that moment of May of 94, had already won 5 Stanley Cups. So, well, you know, I don't want the words from Joel to be just like hollow from a boastful guy, because he has had that tendency before.
That's exactly what I was about to say. There's nothing wrong with the confidence. You just have to go out and display that there's a reason to have that confidence.
Correct.
And he hasn't yet done that, but you know, well, I don't have a problem with him saying, yeah, we're going to win. I mean, if he honestly believes they're going to win, then I don't have a problem with that. I do think the Eagles are going to trade up, but some of these trade up scenarios are a little outlandish. I've seen a lot of reports of them trading up, talking to Denver about trading up to 12. Which would basically decimate the first two rounds of their draft this year to make that move up 10 spots. When there's corners that can help them, you know, lower down in the draft, guys know I like Ennis Rakestraw a lot, and I don't think you have to move up at all to get him. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night, because this draft is not deep, as we've talked about. It's kind of top-heavy, and then it's deep in some positions like offensive line. But depending on how it all plays out in like the first 6 or 7 picks of the draft, this could go in so many different directions. And that's when the good general managers are separated from the bad general managers in terms of being able to see what's happening, see where the board is going, make moves to get up into a position to get the guy they need or get the guy they want. But I don't want them drafting out of need, because that's how you wind up with Marcus Smith, right? So it's the worst possible scenario. I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, listen, I think Howie's great at the maneuvering. He's less good at the actual selecting of the individual. I mean, I think that's pretty clear.
Wow. I mean, well, I don't know about that.
When
Joe,
they're cornerbacks, the cornerback.
Well, he hasn't taken many of them.
Problematic. I Joe, worry about the skill guy selection. Yeah, I know that we're really good with the big in the trenches.
Yeah, but
guys.
But Dillard
seems like
was
we've got a better
Dillard was a whiff. Jordan Davis might be a whiff.
True.
Nolan Smith might be a whiff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's you know.
Think about the cornerbacks themselves that were drafted.
All right, Ken, give me
you got to go back 25 years.
That's right.
To where you feel
that's
good.
That's pretty Howie. Ken, give me a great answer for a fight scene.
Well, I will just point out 9 of the 11 starters on offense last year were drafted by Howie Roseman.
Yep.
So just saying.
Yep.
Great John Carpenter movie from the 80s. Rowdy Roddy Piper throwing down with
they live, buddy.
All right, you got it, man. So I have in front of me here the latest mock draft of ESPN. Now, to be clear, this is the NFL Nation reporters. So, you know, they got different reporters in each city. So like for instance, Tim McManus here, the local reporter for Philadelphia for ESPN.com. So these guys all get a crack at it and they go, you know, city by city. So it's a lot of the same stuff you'd expect, you know, top of the draft, heavy on quarterbacks and all that sort of stuff. And they do this under the premise of, all right, if the Eagles stick at 22. So naturally, John, a whole bunch of the players that you want the Eagles to get are off the board by the time you get to 22. I mean, that's kind of the story behind the lead up to this draft. It's
lots of the mocks that you see are like that. But the closer you get, and Ross talked about this, the more those quarterbacks start creeping in. And there's a lot of them who could creep in before
there are.
Us.
But here's the problem with that. I think those teams could still trade back and probably get them. There's only so many teams that need a quarterback. I mean, at a certain point, everyone's going to have their starting quarterback, I think. But anyway, if the Eagles stick at 22, and based on this mock draft from ESPN.com, they've got the Eagles. And, John, just give me your instant reaction. If you hear the commissioner, you get that ding, ding, ding. What's that sound? James, how would you do that sound that the ESPN, like when the picks?
Ding, dun, 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 dun.
pretty good until you got too high.
Yeah, I tried.
Wow, that needs to be in drop of the week.
Yeah.
Yes. Perfect.
I mean, it was the right sound.
You started good and you ended bad.
Oh, my God.
You know. You were like Joel in a game. You started good.
I went for it, all right?
I love that. Just dropping that every once in a while.
All right, so with the 22nd pick.
I think I actually have the real sounder, too.
All right, so with the 22nd pick, I'm Commissioner Goodell now. Boo me. All right, so Goodell steps to the podium.
Pretty good, actually.
You
kind of did all right.
Can we hear your version?
I gotta pull it. Yeah, no. How could I cut it? Yeah, are you kidding me? What do you think, I'm magic?
Your voice got too high, though.
It is high. I mean, listen to it.
Right. Do you know who's actually? Oh, sorry.
And those are like high notes.
Go ahead, Rhea.
You know who's actually making the first round pick?
Not the commish?
That Jordan Mailata is scheduled to announce their first round pick live from Australia.
Wow. All right. Well, I like that for the second round. I don't like that for the first round. But all right, fine. Well, I mean,
I'm with you, Joe. Give me Roger Goodell announcing.
You want
the pick.
Your name as the first round pick by Roger Goodell.
Right. So here's what Mailata could say, John. Give me your reaction on this one. With the 20, and I'm not going to do a Mailata accent in Australia. With the 22nd pick, the Eagles get Oklahoma offensive tackle Tyler Guyton. What's your reaction, John?
I don't like him as much as the other ones.
That's what I figured. I mean, but here's the conundrum. So could you move up? Sure, you can always move up. You can give up one or more of those second-round picks to move up pretty darn far. One of the issues with that is how much success, and frankly, more success, believe it or not, the Eagles have had in the second round and the first round in the last 30 years. I mean, it's just it's overwhelming. From Eric Allen, I'm going back to 88, from Eric Allen to DeSean Jackson to Randall Cunningham to Zach Ertz to Brian Dawkins to LeSean McCoy. I mean, you're talking about some of the best players the Eagles have gotten have been in the second round. And look, we don't, as a show and as a station and as a town, we don't spend much time talking about, well, let's go get this guy at 47. Like, that's not the way we're wired. But you can generally get a lot of really good, if not great, players in the second round. The Eagles hold two of those picks. So will Howie, who has that knowledge, want to package one to move up? I don't know. We'll see. 215-592-9494. All right, up ahead.
Whose draft was that? The mock?
That was ESPN's NFL Nation reporters.
Yeah. We're going to discount that. We don't want Tyler Guyton.
What Stephen A. said about the end of the Sixers game, too, that's up ahead. Plus, Maxey weighed in last night, late night on a TNT, part of their coverage. Tyrese Maxey commented on the end of game two. And more from Daniel Jeremiah, his assessment of the Eagles' possibilities in the draft. And Greg Cosell on Jeremiah Trotter Jr. All of that and more, including the calls. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, it's 94 WIP.
I have been working with my good friends at Lexus of Cherry Hill many, many years, almost a decade of leasing. Just renewed again for the RX350, a perfectly sized SUV. I love the RX350. Now, there's a real simple reason why I love working with Lexus at Cherry Hill. Great people and service you will receive when you enter the dealership. They've got the 2024 Lexus models in. They're moving fast. And the all-new GX will be arriving soon. Lexus at Cherry Hill, they are now a six-time J.D. Power Dealer of Excellence winner for the customer sales experience. You will see the Lexus at Cherry Hill difference when you stop in and see Tony LaBelle and his great team. I recently, when I was there a couple weeks ago, working with Oleg and Kurt, great, great people there at Lexus at Cherry Hill. Another great thing to love about Lexus at Cherry Hill, they are a veteran-owned and operated business. Face it, you deserve a Lexus and you deserve award-winning customer service. So start your journey today at Lexus of Cherry Hill in Mount Laurel, or online at lexusofcherryhill.com. Lexus of Cherry Hill, family owned and operated.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, that's a powerful song coming right at you here on a Wednesday morning. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. You know, some of these rumors floating out there now, I think, are just going into the absurd territory. I mean, this Graziano thing about the Eagles moving up for a wide receiver. Yeah. You freaking kidding me?
Or a tight end. Or Brock Bowers, yeah. He's saying, too.
It's ridiculous. I mean, the only way they're going to move up for a wide receiver is if they trade A.J. Brown. And I don't think they're going to trade A.J. Brown. So,
I didn't think they were going to trade for A.J. Brown on draft day.
I didn't either. But
just get ready to be surprised no matter what. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. We're going to get better.
Well, we're going to have really big draft coverage, by the way, tomorrow night and tomorrow afternoon here on WIP, not to mention tomorrow morning. So tomorrow the Phillies have an afternoon game. And when that game ends, and I believe it's slated to end, you know, around 4 o'clock, something like that, right to draft coverage. So, you know, wall-to-wall draft coverage starting right after the Phillies afternoon game tomorrow, and it'll go for, you know, hours and hours and hours and hours on end.
Forever.
Forever. You know why, James?
Because we're always going to be reacting
we'll
to it.
We'll always react. All right, James, best draft pick the Eagles have ever had is who?
Probably Jason Kelce. I mean, Kelce comes to mind. I mean, Mailata has a chance to be, I think, when you think about the,
it's not good
the whole thing. I agree. I think it's Kelce. I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You got him in the sixth round. Like, you can't do much better. And not just that, first ballot Hall of Famer who became the you know,
you're never
spirit animal of the city.
You right. can never beat Jason Kelce.
It probably is the best.
Think about Jordan Mailata as a seventh rounder.
Right.
Maybe if he someday continues to achieve at the highest of high levels and becomes a future, you know, Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Maybe he could rival it. It's just so improbable.
Yeah.
It's next to impossible. Jason Kelce is going to be the best draft pick of all time for as long as we know.
All right, and the best of all time for any team's got to be Tom Brady.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, without a doubt.
You get the best player ever in the sixth round.
I mean, yeah. I don't even think it's all
right, the Eagles' worst draft pick.
So, I mean, there's so many names that pop into mind. I mean, Danny Watkins was one. John Harris, I feel like that guy didn't play at all, ever. I mean, Antoine Davis was, what, the eighth pick in the draft. He traded up for him.
John Harris wanted to play. Like, Danny Watkins didn't even want to.
Yeah, but John Harris didn't play. Like,
can I tell you a funny story about that draft? Yes. So I'm doing the draft show for WIP.
Yep.
We're, I believe, in the vet. And I'm sitting there with Ruben Frank. I believe we're doing the show. And when the Eagles used to give out, you know, papers with the kids' names on them, potentials with their stuff, they announced John Harris. We are frantically going through the papers. The people on staff at the Eagles thought so little of him, he was Xeroxed on the back of somebody else's paper.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Well, you know what that reminds me of? So that same moment captured on ESPN, Mel Kiper, who's the guru of gurus, was flying through his papers because Mel says, I had him as a third rounder.
Yep, I remember that.
He wasn't prepared to talk about the
player. I remember that so vividly.
Yeah. Yep. It's unbelievable.
Well, I was on the air at that point, and we were all looking at each other going, okay, didn't have him in like my top like 100.
Right. That's right. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get, you know, back to the end of the Sixers game and how Stephen A., who, of course, was seated courtside in the Garden for game two, he reacted yesterday on ESPN about the end of game two, and he's very clear what he thinks happened. Here's Stephen A. cutting to the chase.
I think that the Sixers were robbed, and I'm a Knicks fan. We know this.
Yeah.
Fair is fair. And here's what I'm saying. Tyrese Maxey was fouled.
Yeah.
I mean, you see me sitting courtside. I mean, it's what is it, 3 feet, Tim, to my left? I mean, he got slapped at least 2 to 3 times.
By the way, the official report from the NBA that came out yesterday with that last 2-minute report, it's got all sorts of violations on it not called. I mean, it's unbelievable.
What happens? Like,
nothing.
Bottom line?
Nada.
Zero.
I mean, well, gut calls in game three.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
There's two things that happen, neither of which change game two. One is you get calls in game three, and the other is, you know, theoretically some of these refs could get dinged moving forward and not get a game like in the NBA Finals. If they add up enough of them, you know, maybe. Let's listen to Maxi. He was on TNT last night. Obviously, NBA coverage last night. Road team started winning last night, so you get a little bit more of that in the NBA. Phoenix down 2-0, though. They're one team that is now in some trouble for sure. Tyrese Maxey talking to Ernie Johnson last night in the TNT crew about the end of the game. And Tyrese, as you would expect he would do, takes the high road publicly.
So that comes out. But on the day after, how are you? What does that make you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I gotta be strong. I gotta be strong with the ball. I gotta be able to, like, when I get on the floor, I gotta be able to just hug it and call a timeout. But I mean, it is what it is. Like, it happened. You gotta let it go. I mean, you can't dwell on it now. If we dwell on it, then, you know, in a couple of days, we'll be down 0-3. We don't want to be down 0-3. You know what I mean? We know that we can still win this series. We got to go out there and prove that to everybody, not just ourselves. And it starts today, letting that go. And then tomorrow at practice, and then as soon as the ball goes up on Thursday, being a tougher team, not just physically, but mentally as well. I mean, we still had chances to win the game. I got my layup blocked, and then, you know, we missed a three at the end to tie. So we can't dwell on that. We can't leave the games in other people's hands. We got to go out there and take it.
I totally respect, as I think a lot of people probably do, the way Maxey handled that there, you know, publicly speaking. I will tell you, I'm really happy the Sixers don't play tonight. Now, it's a bummer. It's during the draft. It's kind of overload, sports overload on a Thursday where you don't want to have divided attention. But the reality is I think it definitely benefits the Sixers that this game is not tonight and they get the extra day off before tomorrow. Because it's got to be a tough one mentally to bounce back from. And having that breather plus getting Joel the extra day for his knee, both are, I think, a help to the Sixers. All right, let's go to the phone. Sledgehammer, Mark in Collegeville. Good morning, Sledgy.
Joe, John, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Sledge?
Not much. So, Joe, I saw you like to go to Jimmy for some trivia, so I got a little for you.
I welcome this because obviously I could use a victory on this Wednesday morning. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see. Let's see how much you remember. Name me the last known Phillies pitcher on record in his debut to pitch a no-hitter.
The last – are you saying he did it as a Philly? I just want to understand the wording of your question. I don't think
He did it as a Philly. The last Philly pitcher in his debut as a starter –
as a Philly? Is that what you're saying? His debut as a Philly?
Yes.
Yeah, Sledge, I think you're wasting a lot of people's time. So here's what I'm going to claim. It's probably some guy part
of a no-hitter.
It's Michael
Lorenzen is what it is.
But he didn't do it as a Philly.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Michael Lorenzen threw a no-hitter last season.
I thought he was saying his MLB debut.
No, he was saying as a Philly. Is it Michael Lorenzen?
Well, your question was worded bad. You said his debut.
He said as a Philly. His debut as a Philly.
You word the question better, Sledge.
I figured it out.
Well, I knew it. No.
Joe, clean the gook out of your ears.
All right. Learn how to speak fifth grade vocabulary. All right, keep
Didn't
going.
He have a start on the road, though, first? Wasn't it just a home start, his debut at Citizens Bank Park?
Washington?
Yeah, I think it was his second start.
Yeah, right, Sledgy. Is there any point in here on the Sixers or the Eagles that gets us off this horrible topic?
There is, and why don't you tell us what a guinea pig is again, Joe?
Well played, sir.
So, on the Sixers, I mean, I don't know where to start. I mean, how can the commissioner go and let them say, oh, yeah, there was definitely a mistake that definitely changed the outcome of the game. But yet, nothing's done about it. Everything that went down still stands. How can they possibly let that slide and let that go?
Well, there's nothing they can do about it. They're not going to reconvene everyone at Madison Square Garden for a redo.
And they're not going to give the Sixers the win.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, there's nothing that can be done.
I don't know. It's kind of
like after Tommy got killed in Goodfellas, and De Niro gets that phone call, and the guy's like, "It's all done. What's done is done." Right?
Yeah. Well, as far as the draft, I still want defense. I still want help in the secondary. We need so much help in that secondary; it's unreal.
All right, Sledge, give me an answer here for a fight scene in a movie.
Well, since you wanted to go Rocky and took the fight with Apollo, I'm also going to go Rocky, but I'm going to go with the other best one there is, the fight against Drago.
All right, Rocky IV, the Drago fight in the world of make-believe, to say the least. By the way, John, I have the sounder now.
World of make-believe, to say the least, was that a cutting, like a negative comment about the battle against Ivan Drago?
No, the Soviets coming around to Rocky's side as he
said. Oh, you think that's silly that he ended the Cold War?
Is that a little movie magic there? That's the part.
But as a fourth grader, that
oh, it's
made
ridiculous.
All the sense in the world.
No.
Yeah, but what if
no,
you're not that... a fourth grader? What if you're a Cold
How
War
old are you
veteran?
Now?
I was a fourth grader then. Like, it was good.
No, seriously.
I was all good.
What if you're 60 years
that,
old?
What does that even mean, a Cold War
What does
veteran?
It mean? What does it mean? What if you're a World War II survivor?
World War II is different. I'm saying a Cold War veteran is just you lived through the Cold
That's
War.
That's my point.
You're
a
veteran.
No,
the Cold...
you are
so
a veteran.
I'm technically a Cold War veteran. I was born in 1981.
No, I agree. We I consider myself a World... A,
I like this.
Yeah,
this
a Cold
good.
War veteran.
I'm a Cold War veteran.
But I'm saying,
no
imagine being the soldier from World War II. You meet the Russians in Berlin, and then it's like, all right, everyone go to the neutral corners, and then the freaking Soviets keep all of Eastern Europe while we give back Western Europe. Like, that ain't cool.
No,
right,
it's not.
It's all.
I did not have this on my bingo card today.
No, and that's the problem with freaking Putin. Putin grew up in that whole freaking thing, and he thinks they should still own the whole damn thing. Let's go to Adam in Kutztown. Hello, Adam.
Hey guys, how are you calling? How are you guys doing today? So, long-time listener, first time getting through caller. Actually, I got disconnected, and then I've been on hold for an hour waiting for you guys. So that's
oh
how excited
gosh.
I am.
Well,
yeah,
thank
yeah.
you
so,
for putting up with that.
All right, welcome aboard. What do you got, Adam?
So I could talk anything. First, the Sixers. I think you guys finally touched on one. The NBA admits missing four calls at that point. How about allowing coaches' challenges in the last minute for all these calls? We saw LeBron's reaction. We saw the Sixers' reaction. We hear the NBA's reaction. People talking about, you know, Joel head down. How about that's kind of like right after the game. He's really just disgusted, disappointed. I mean, guy comes back, injury, putting it all on the table. They had the game. They managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. I mean, that's we're getting his guttural reaction right there of just disgust, in my opinion. And then, you know, combining that with the fact that Joel is an individual kind of guy. Let's face it, he's now declared playing for America. The Olympics are coming up. He's looking to put individual accolades in his closet to be in the quest of one of the GOATs. So that was that one there. Segueing to lots
I don't think
of
I don't think that's fair, Adam. I don't think that's okay. fair to rip Joel for wanting to play in the Olympics. I mean, let me ask you a question. Do you rip the other players for choosing to play in the Olympics? Who
they're not repeatedly injury prone.
No, I understand that. But Adam, like, do you rip other players for choosing to play in the Olympics?
No rip, just a statement of fact. It's coming up. It's something he's going to be doing and something.
Well, hold on. It's something that he was going to definitely do. We don't know that he will be definitely doing.
I mean, he's on the roster.
I understand he's on the roster. The Olympics also don't get played for three or four more months, whatever the hell it is. And Adam, maybe he'll be off this thing depending on whether he needs all-season surgery. I mean, like, he doesn't need to make that declaration today.
He just had surgery, though.
I understand that, but I'm saying he hasn't played in it yet, and we don't know yet that he will definitely
He's
play
He's probably going to play in it, though.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I'll make you bet if you want. Yeah, I'll bet you whatever you want.
We'll see.
And I don't like it either. And not in the list.
I don't hate
you
it, actually.
Name on
I don't hate
list.
It at all. I think it's a good experience.
Put his
player.
Name on the list. Months
He's
ago.
One of the 11, 12, of 12. They've announced the roster.
Like, I understand that. I understand.
And I think it's good for him. I think it's a good experience.
I want him to make
I'm fine with it. Yeah. All the great players do this. It's something all the great players do is they do this type of stuff. They play on the national
But he shouldn't
team.
Do
they
it make those, if he's injured.
Of course,
in,
if
yes.
he can't, yes. But I'm okay with him playing the Olympics.
He's
Adam,
always injured.
Adam, give me a fight scene in a movie.
Oh, hold on. I was going to talk Eagles, too. Come sure. on. And how we trust. You guys are always saying how we trust. He's got to have a strategy. You know, ESPN just announced they're talking in trades to move up with Denver. How mm-hmm. about that quarterback out of Iowa, or cornerback, I'm sorry, yeah, number nine yeah. out of Iowa. We yeah. got that on the table. But, you know, let's face it, if you can rush the passer, you don't need to have space downfield. But let's not forget the Chiefs, second youngest defense in the league with a bunch of young kids. That defense wins championships. You guys are talking about offense scores points. The Chiefs had how many points scored on average in the playoffs and managed to get it done in the biggest moments, holding down that high-scoring Ravens team that blew out the Niners, blew out everybody, and then came up with a totally different game plan, abandoning the run, and the Chiefs managed to get it done by pressuring the quarterback and had a couple of guys downfield that could cover. So it'll be interesting what Howie does. They got a bunch of picks that they can package and get things done. They could move up. I don't think it's get rid of AJ. guy called earlier about putting another receiver in there. Sure, more weapons is great, but we just added Saquon to be able to play out of the backfield, run between the tackles. Longevity and health are a concern for him. So those are all my kind of thoughts.
I got you, my man. All right, Adam, give me a fight scene. Which one's
sure,
the best
sure.
ever?
Sure, fight scene. First, I was calling him with one, but listening to people, I heard another one that I want to share both of them. Jurassic World with the Velociraptor, and then the Mosasaurus at the end drags the bad guy into the water and the foot. And then...
All right, we got you. From Jurassic Park and that whole thing, that whole
Jurassic World
franchise. Yes, I got you. All right, coming up in 1 minute here, 1 minute's time, to a story that has gone way beneath the radar this week, but it's got ties to Philadelphia sports and could be a really big one in the years ahead. That's up ahead in 1 minute's time.
The hardest thing about getting into shape is taking that first step. Isn't it time for you to reach out to NJ Diet? They'll contractually guarantee that you lose at least 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat and not just losing water. You even get the doctor's personal email and phone number. Locations in King of Prussia, Cherry Hill, Newark, Delaware, or available from home with live online video consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET and lose weight the natural way, quickly and safely. Call 855-5NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get slimmer before the summer without any shots. Visit njdiet.com.
All right, Jetta Cameron and John Ritchie on this Wednesday morning. So a story that did not garner too much attention this week, but is certainly worth passing on, is that 66-year-old Andy Reid signed a contract extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. By the way, he did so, the announcement by the Chiefs, at the same time as their president, Mark Donovan, who used to work for the Eagles, and part of bringing Andy to KC, and their general manager as well. Now, what's the impact here? Well, a couple of things. First off, he's going to keep coaching. There was some consideration as he approached the Super Bowl. Some people thought it might be the last game he'd coach. Now, obviously, he blew through that quickly, you know, announcing he'd be back. But now, not only back with an extension. And Bill Belichick out of New England and potentially with no path moving forward to get those 14 wins Belichick needs to tie Don Shula and the 15 wins he needs to pass Don Shula. What's my point? My point, guys, is Andy Reid, when all is said and done, has a, I would now call it, really good chance to become number one all-time in wins. Here are the basic facts. And remember, playoff wins count in the NFL. Shula, 347. Andy Reid in fourth place, 284. Put another way, Andy Reid, at the age of 66, is 64 wins behind passing Shula. 63 to tie him, 64 to get him. 64 wins in a 17-game season, plus you add 1, 2, 3, or 4 wins you can get every postseason. Andy Reid could get this in 5 years kind of with ease, as long as Patrick Mahomes stays healthy. He'll definitely get it within 6 years, I think. He could even get it within 4 years, although that would take a lot of, like, you know, 14s and 14s and 14 and 15.
Plus, with the buys, you lose playoff win potential if you win that many games during the regular season.
That's right. But, you know, you got 17 games now in the regular season. He's got a quarterback who I guess is just entering his prime. I don't know. I mean, the guy's already got 3 Super Bowls. I mean, Mahomes is just entering what should be his prime years. John, Andy Reid, when all is said and done, like, we never really talked about it because Belichick was always 50 in front of him, like, the whole way. Belichick's 50 in front, 50 in front, 50 in front, you know. At one point, he was probably 70 in front. Andy obviously closed the gap the last couple of years as Belichick, you know, lagged the last few years.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you, when this thing is all said and done, Andy Reid's going to be number one of all time,
it's
guys.
Likely. It's highly likely.
Number one.
Unless his quarterback all of a sudden starts having, you know, the injury issues that I don't anticipate he'll ever have because – he does a great job of getting the ball out of his hand, protecting himself. The game does that also.
Andy, well, the game does help because it's less violent than it used to be. And Andy was winning 10, 11 games a year with Alex Smith anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, for those that were anti-Andy Reid, which was, you know, a lot of people were ready for it to be over, and I was ready for it to be over. But for those, you know, 10 to 15, 20% of people, Eagles fans, that thought Andy Reid was just a bum and horrible and all that stuff, like, there is a legitimate chance he will go down when all is said and done with the most wins in NFL history. And by the way, John, with three in his back pocket, his three rings, I mean, he could get to four, five, or six easy.
So 64,
I shouldn't say easy, but it's very doable.
64 wins he has to achieve. And the postseason wins count also. We know that that's going to help because they're going to be in
the
postseason. That feels like if he goes 10 wins a season, which will be easier now with 17 games and potentially 18 games on the, you know, on
they
the
win
horizon.
12, 13, 14 a year.
Yeah, the one thing I'll put out there is he is the oldest coach in the NFL by 6 years.
Well, and that's
6 years. And we just saw Belichick, the age, the whole thing, not get a job. So I'm with you because he has Mahomes.
That's right.
But there, it's not like a lock,
I agree.
Is all I'm saying.
Definitely
but
not
it
a lock.
It feels like it. It feels
he'll be
like
back
these
next year, too.
But
going forward, too, which would be fascinating.
Put it this way.
Dueling.
He now has a better chance than Belichick.
And, I would agree with that.
Prior to Belichick not getting hired, I never would have said that.
Now, Belichick might have a chance to break it first because if Belichick does come back next year, he could break it, but then Andy could just pass him after.
That's right.
It's fascinating.
That's what used to happen when Nolan and Nolan Ryan and Steve Carlton were going back and forth until Nolan zipped past him for an extra whatever. 1,500 strikeouts or something.
Yeah, like they left him in the dust.
Yeah, correct. Eric in Cherry Hill. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hi, Eric.
So I'm actually kind of glad I didn't get in yesterday because I had I had all these conspiracy theories with all the, you know, betting scandals.
Yep.
I think, you know, Ken kind of hit a lot of what I was saying. You know, I don't, you know, it's just the NBA kind of, you know, they don't rig it, but, you know, they prefer certain franchises. But going forward, you know, I appreciate Joel's, you know, it seems like first time he actually, you know, something, I guess, this kind of lit a fire under his butt. But realistically, you know, he's just, it comes down to the same thing every year. He's got to show it. He's got to do it.
Yep.
I think game three is going to be a blowout. But then it's like, can you sustain it? You know?
That is the thing, Eric. And, I mean, if we're really talking about winning a championship and getting to mid-June, that is hard to imagine. If we're talking about this series, you know, possible. But he, let's put it this way. He better prove it quickly because the clock is ticking. I mean, a 2-0 hole is no joke.
Yeah, and then, you know, the one thing I will say about if you want to put any kind of silver lining on this is that, you know, with all this attention on, you know, the egregious, you know, call or miscall, you know, I think the Knicks kind of used up all their, you know.
That's right.
Bad calls, like favorable calls, you know.
It'll swing back to Sixers' way for a game or two. For sure. Yeah. Eric, give me a great answer for a fight scene in a movie.
See, I'm going to go Kill Bill 2, actually. I think it was a better scene in the trailer with Al Driver and Beatrix, the sword fight where she pulls her eye out.
Oh, yeah. It didn't matter anymore. She won the fight.
All right.
So.
All right. So that was
care?
It.
Who cares if she gets
who cares?
Here's the takeaway.
Fair enough. You guys remember when Alan Ray's eye, like, popped out?
Of course. Ugh. Yeah, it was awful.
That was
well,
awful.
Speaking of, though, so Embiid, with his head down, I don't want to speculate, but I am about to speculate, or other people are speculating, he had someone, like, poked him in the eye, apparently.
Right. Have you noticed Ray, he
but I don't
accident.
Buy it, because he just played a game in the Garden for 3 hours.
Well, did you see? He keeps closing one of his eyes. Like, whenever he shoots a free throw, he's, like, kind of winking.
I did not notice that. I'll look for it. I mean,
the eye thing was odd.
People are saying that's why his head was down in that post-game soundbite because he
didn't
want people to see his eye.
Yeah.
It's
possible.
No, it's
possible. But he's on the court with it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In a big, bright.
There's something weird going on.
Well, here's what I would do. If I were him in that moment, let's say the camera lights are bothering him. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, turn your camera lights off. I'll talk to you, but, like, no lights. That's what I would do.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's the lights or – because even when he went down in game one, when they showed his face, which looked just terrified in general, he had one eye just kind of closed. So I don't know if it was
the whole
from
thing is
being
weird.
Poked or
– Yeah. All right, let's go to Dave. Dave, you're on WIP.
Hey, something occurred to me. I was going to talk about something else, but something occurred to me when I was listening to Maxie. Has anyone thought about the irony about how the Bradberry call in the Super Bowl and this thing with Maxie are the flip sides of the same coin, where both of them reacted very classy in the way that they responded to it. But in one situation, I remember I was kind of thinking, I wish that the ref in that Nick game was the guy in the Super Bowl, because the call in the Nick game was a hell of a lot more flagrant than what Bradberry did, that he got called for and that Brunson didn't get called for.
Well, I did think of, you know, how there's a tug. I thought of that. I didn't go as deep as you did on all of it. But yeah, both Philly athletes took the high road. I mean, the irony is, well, I don't know if it's ironic, it's just circumstantial. In one case, it's a Philadelphia athlete holding, and in the other case, it's a Philadelphia athlete being held. But I make nothing much more of it other than the fact that it's just two bad moments in Philadelphia sports history.
Yeah, but in one instance, you get hit in a situation where most people that I heard, pundits or otherwise, including Kansas City Chiefs fans who I spoke to while I was at the game, after the game, all agreed that it was a bad call. And in this situation, you had a bad call, but it went the other way.
That's right.
Both of them involved tugs on a jersey, one not being one that should have been called, and the other one pretty clearly.
No, that's right. And look, the Bradberry thing, I think part of what made it so horrific was that it was inconsistent with how the game had been called earlier. But I will say this, Dave, and it's a moment a lot of people might not remember. When Bradberry got away with that same type of thing, I think it was in the second quarter on a third down, the Chiefs reacted to the refs like, what the hell? And that's part of why you react sometimes to the ref, like, what the heck, man? Like, you buy the next call. That's how it works.
Yeah, it does work that way, although you'll never convince me that if it had been the other way around, it would have kept Mahomes from getting the ball back down three, that they would have called it.
Don't they usually say something to the players as well, like the officials go, yeah, you know, we're looking at you on that.
I mean, John, you would know that better than us, but I assume so, right?
They're always communicating, letting everyone know what they're thinking.
Dave, give me an answer here for a fight scene. What do you got?
Someone already took the They Live fight, so I'm going to go with a short, sweet, iconic one. Sonny Corleone taking care of Carlo in the street with the
That is a good one. Yeah. The problem is, eventually, it freaking gets James Caan killed in the movie. But yes, I mean, so James Caan and what's the guy's name?
Carl.
Carl?
I thought it was Carl, right?
It was Carlo.
Well, they call him both. I think it's probably Carlo, but they would call him both.
Anytime I want to get at someone in life, I don't beat him up, but eventually I will say you got to answer for Santina.
Santino. Santino.
Let me make sure I say it right.
There you go.
All right, coming up here in 1 minute. 1 minute's time. To Greg Cosell's analysis of Jeremiah Trotter Jr., obviously a possibility for the Eagles after he got through the first round. What Cosell says about Trot Jr., that's up ahead in 1 minute's time. Hey, let me tell you about PI Dental Center. They've been helping me for years. You know, they got decades of experience in complex dental treatment. Fortunately, I've never needed a major repair in my teeth, but a lot of people in society do. And if you do, know that Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both board-certified prosthodontists who specialize in the restoration and replacement of teeth, they can help you, and they can help you big time. PI Dental Center are the originators of the teeth in a day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere one day. So if you're like me and everything's, you know, relatively okay right now and you're looking for year-to-year maintenance, bang! PI Dental Center, they can provide that for you. But if you need a major repair and you need it soon, you want it soon, maybe you've been putting it off your whole life, or more recently, an accident, a fall, you got banged up, know the PI Dental Center, they can provide that as well. Visit their website, PIDentalCenter.com. They're located in Fort Washington. Visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation. All right, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., obviously a viable option for the Eagles in the second, third, you know, maybe fourth round of the draft, depending on how far down he goes. You got N'Kobe Dean right now. You got Devin White, who I think we all know is going to be a starter year one, but it's only a one-year deal for Devin White, much like when what was the guy's name 2 years ago from San Diego? What was that?
Kaiser White.
When he came here, it was only 1 year, 1 year in, 1 year out. So even if you believe in Devin White, they might still draft Trott Jr. for the future. Let's listen to Greg Cosell on Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
Jeremiah Trotter's tape is really good. He was a fun watch. He's such a smart, savvy, aware player, sees things immediately. He's one of those guys, the term we always use is key and diagnose. He sees it. He attacks. He's a really good blitzer. He's just 6 feet, 228. That's going to be seen as small. Some teams will say, you know what? Not for me. But his tape is really good. And we know who his dad is. I remember his dad sitting with me here in my office at NFL Films watching tape when he retired.
And that's and I'd say this, you know, speaking of watching tape, because, you know, Trott and I, older Trott, we're very close. And he was telling me years ago, that he had his son watching tape at a very, very early age and knew that it would give Jeremiah Trotter Jr. an advantage, which obviously it did at the, you know, the grade school, high school, and ultimately to this point college level. Now to the pros. John, the size thing.
The instinct. The instincts almost get locked in when from an early age your dad is showing you the ins and outs of NFL football.
It's like, a hell of an advantage.
Big time.
It really
and
is.
And it's why all of these front offices everywhere, it really does matter if there are bloodlines in a family. They look at that, they count it, it should account for
it. You know what's an example of that real quick before we more on him? So I told you I'm reading the John Elway book right now. Uh-huh. And the Broncos front office, I stumbled into this last night. They used to send, I mean, I'm going back 40 years ago, they would send college kids jerseys. Not the Broncos. It was the 49ers, I think it was. One of the teams would send college kids jerseys way back in the day. They would target the kids that were sons of coaches. It was just their thing. Like they felt there was an advantage to being the son of a coach.
Of course.
And they would send jerseys to those families.
More immersed.
And try to get – so Elway was getting the – I think it might have been Montana's jersey or it was whatever, whoever the heck it was. And that was now, I'm sure that's probably not legal right now. You know, I would
things have probably tightened up a bit.
Well, things might have changed. Who knows? The NIL and all that stuff. Things are changing.
Maybe not. Maybe it changed back. It changed. All right, John, Trott Jr.'s size. Is it – something that is a major concern for you, or go get a playmaking linebacker and hope he can survive against the run?
Yeah, he's got such great feet. You know, the foot quickness is there. That's what looks so different, but not just the size of he and his dad, but the pitter-patter, the boom, yep. Like pistons. And that's great to see. But 6 feet, 228 is smallish. That's sort of the standard size in today's NFL.
What's Nakobe?
Here's the thing. Probably somewhere similar.
Right around the same,
6'2", 220, 225-ish. But I think this is going to come the other way. Like, I do think that the big and burly run games are going to start having success, and that this will eventually be perceived as more of a disadvantage in a few years.
Yeah.
I think right now you're kind of in a good sweet spot where all the linebackers are this size, so it's not going to be counted against you as much. That he's a really good linebacker, and as stated, so instinctive because he understands what he's looking at. He understands.
And he was great at Clemson. I mean, he did a great job. I mean, things kind of fell apart in Clemson the last couple of years. One, his fault. I mean, Dabo, it's funny. I felt bad for Trott Jr. He gets there, and all of a sudden they're not winning national championships anymore. I mean, Dabo had a run until the last couple of years, and then things really fell apart to an extent based on the standard they had established. By the way, Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's truck season at Armin. Available 2.9% financing for up to 72 months on all new light-duty Armin Silverados. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question, who wins the series? Will it be the Sixers? Will it be the Knicks? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.